Good morning, 912 here on the Mighty 690. It is time for our Ask the Expert segment, and we do have some experts with us. We got the folks from Sun Group on the line. How are y'all doing?
Good, good. How are you doing, James?
Doing well. Did y'all have a good Christmas, I hope?
Yeah, it was great. How about you?
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, I went over to Wichita and spent some time with the family there. So, yeah, I had a really enjoyable time, a couple days off. So, happy to be back in the saddle, though, as we finish out 2022. Hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. We're pretty excited about looking at the new year. We've got a lot of things that we got upcoming. We got some auctions that we're already scheduling. Both in personal property and real estate. So we've got dates that are filling up. So if someone's thinking about doing something, you know, get a hold of us as we're scheduling these things. So we've got, our first one here is going to be in February. It's going to have some personal property. Also, we're going to have some land that we're going to be selling from that. But we'll get some more information and talk more about that as we get things put together on that. So. Today I got David Sundgren with us and Sean Schwartz. Sean is an appraiser here in our office. Today we're just going to kind of talk about some of the noxious weeds that you'd find in pastures. Also just kind of pasture care, good pasture care, and how that relates to value on your property. And all them things are important from, maintaining good fences. And taking care of the noxious weeds. I'll start off by just talking about one I think that seems to be a problem on a lot of property is cerises. That's one that we see in pastures that some of them, it can overtake things pretty quick, and it's a pretty vicious weed. So the best things to do on some of those are spraying is the best way to take care of those. Now, some people do those, and a lot of these other types of weeds that we'll mention in here today, too, but there's different ways of taking care of those, whether if you're going to just hand spray those things or you're going to do aerial spray, but there's risk to some of that stuff, and there's benefits to it also. It's just, I guess, kind of the situation of the property and what needs to be done. But it's important to keep those kind of things under control when thinking about keeping value to your property. And so, but I'll let Dave talk a little bit about spraying of cerises. I know he had some on his property that he was working on spraying, and I think he chose to do it spraying it by hand, and he had reasons behind that. That was the best fit for his property, he felt like.
Yeah, and Keith, first of all, I'd like to say that most of these noxious weeds are introduced from other countries, and they've been, most of them come from Europe, and so they don't have natural enemies, insects and diseases when they get over here to the United States, and so then they get out of control, and they're difficult to contain, and they invade our native pastures and crop fields and things like that. Cerisa lespidiza is one of those that was brought into the United States, I believe, back in the 1960s. It was brought in as a brought in to control erosion and brought in for wildlife, and it hung around for quite a few years, and then all of a sudden, after the turn of the century, it just broke out and exploded, and it's a real problem in the Flint Hills now. Most people spray that. It's a broadleaf plant, and so you can spray it in the grasses and not damage the grasses. But the problem is with that, with spraying, is that it gets the other legumes and broadleaf plants that have been, here natural in the prairie for years, and they're plants that, the livestock depend on for protein. So spraying will control it, but it's another method that they're using now that really interests me, and K-State has been at the forefront of this, is a late summer burn. And instead of burning in April, the people that are using this to control cerebral acidosis are burning in August and September, late August and early September. And what that does is apparently it explodes the plant, the cells in the cereza plant. It doesn't seem to damage other native plants. As a matter of fact, it makes them a little stronger and better. And if you think about that, back years and years ago, all through the time the prairie was developing, lightning storms would come in the late summer when it was dry and start fires and burn, and so the native plants have developed and are used to that. What it does to the cereza is it kills a high percentage of the cereza plant with that late summer burn, and then it also keeps it from going to seed, and the real reefer that you get out of that is that the seeds that are in the ground sprout if we get those September rains, and then they heave in the winter through the freeze and thaw and are killed that way. So you really get some good control, and that's one of the new methods. It's not being used very much, but it sure is interesting and interests me a lot.
Yep, and I think another one that we see a lot of is Johnson grass, Dave. So speaking on how the best control of Johnson grass is, does that kind of fall into that same category with those late burns? Does that seem to help control Johnson grass and not get back?
Not really, not for Johnson grass. Johnson grass is a totally different plant. It is easily controlled with Roundup, but Roundup kills everything, so you can't spray Roundup on your native pasture to keep it out. But one thing about Johnson grass is that it's highly palatable. Cattle love it, hogs love it, and so you don't see a lot of Johnson grass out in the native pastures that are being grazed properly. You see it mostly in the bar ditch along the roads where cattle can't get to it. And in cropland fields. But that is in native grass now, they do have a new chemical that will control the Johnson grass and not damage the native grass. It's expensive, but it sure does work.
And then there's a certain point in Johnson grass that it can be harmful to cattle. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. And first of all, I'm not an expert on spraying and stuff like that. Before somebody does that, they should talk to their county agents and the people that are experts in that field. I'm just an old guy, so I've done it a lot. So that's what I know. I'm trying to think of the name of the chemical that comes out of Johnson grass, and it usually comes out late in the year or during dry periods, and if cattle eat enough of that, it'll kill them all, you know, real quickly.
So talking about spraying and taking care of some of them weeds, you know, we were talking about how you selected to just hand spray some of this stuff instead of aerial spray, and what's some of the advantages and disadvantages to both on spraying, Dave?
Yeah, and that's a really good question. If you aerial spray, you're going to cover everything. And so if you've got a fairly new stand or infestation of cereza lepidosa, Johnson grass, or anything else, if you spot spray it, you don't damage or kill other desirable weeds out in the pasture. And so that's what I like to do, is I like to spot spray. Most people either have a backpack sprayer or an ATV with a small demand sprayer on it, and they can go out and spray the patches and not aerial spray and cover the whole pasture. And that way, those desirable curds and forbs are spared, and you don't kill them if you just spot spray.
And ragweed, that's another one that we see, probably not as much as like cerises and stuff like that, but that's definitely an invasive plant that can cause problems as well. And, you know, the same thing, I think, on taking care of that is spraying and burning properly. I know a lot of people burn in the springtime, and does that help when it comes to ragweed and all the other things? Do you think that it's is it pretty efficient to burn, and how often should you burn?
Well, ragweed is an annual weed, and really good management practices will eliminate or control the ragweed. I wouldn't spray for ragweed. I would use lower stocking rate. Burning will help strengthen the grass, but really for ragweed, I think most of that is management practices and by grazing with a lower stocking rate, you can pretty well control that ragweed.
Yeah, and so outside of taking care of the weeds that's in your pasture, and what other kind of things, you know, as far as taking care of, like, your fences and things like that that keep the value of your property up, and that's important because if there's ever a time that you're going to sell, you want to make sure that you're keeping up with these things and kind of the maintenance on the property. So, you know, we talk about fences and spraying and all that. What other kind of things is consist with good pasture management?
Good question, Keith. It's just like with any other real estate. The better condition you keep it in, the better you maintain it, whether it's a house, a commercial building, or a pasture or crop ground. If you control erosion, if you keep the fences in good shape, if you keep the condition of the grass in good shape, that's all going to equate into added value at the time you decide to sell the property. So fences, depending on whether you're using your grass yourself or you're leasing it out, it's important to keep those fences in good shape, keep the corners good. Sometimes those corner posts pull out and the fences start leaning. Just the simple maintenance on that. Keeping the ponds in good shape. A lot of people right now are digging their ponds out. They're cleaning them out. They, over the years, erosion, just natural erosion, fills the pond with silt and makes them more shallow. And by controlling that, digging those ponds out during the dry times, controlling erosion going in, keeping the grass in good shape. You know, the other management practices are to burn occasionally. Once you have a good condition and stand of native grass, you can burn about every third year, and that will keep the brush, the trees, the cedar trees, all those things out will help improve the condition of the grass. Those things all make your land worth more money.
Yeah, and it's equally as important when running cattle on there to make sure that you're not overgrazing. You know, we've seen people that's done a real great job of managing the property and an amount of head per acre, and you can sure tell the difference between something that's overgrazed as well. So that's another important thing. Some people elect to be, like, in a CRP program. Dave, can you kind of elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, that's a Conservation Reserve program. It's a government program that is coordinated with the USDA offices or the soil conservationists. And the government will pay a subsidy or pay a yearly amount of money for people to idle their land and keep it from eroding. Usually it's all crop ground, at least it was, and so you plant it back to grass, control the erosion, and you can collectively or an amount by doing that. Usually it's a lot of times a 10-year program.
And talking about that program a little bit more, so the program is, let's say it's going on a property, and you said typically it's kind of a 10-year window. So what does that look like when someone goes to sell that property and they have a lease on it like that for 10 years? How does that affect the buyer and the seller of the property?
Well, that's a good question. It depends on what year of the lease, if it's in year 9 or year 1 or year 2, whatever it is. Different buyers will look at that differently. The main thing is that once you're enrolled in a program like that, it's very important that if you sell it, that you get an indemnification as the seller, because if, for instance, if you would sell that in year 9 and somebody would break that ground out or farm it before the end of the contract, the seller would owe all 9 years of income back to the government with penalties. So it's important that before you sell property that's in a CRP program, that you check with the USDA office or have a real estate broker that's familiar with that type of challenge.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things, I guess, to take in consideration when managing a property, from even taking care of the ponds to the grass, your fences and gates, and knowing the certain types of properties or programs that it could be enrolled in is all important things that one would want to look at before buying or selling. So, anyways, I think that if you got questions on some of that stuff, we can certainly point you in the right direction and work through it. We'd be happy to do that. So. You can get a hold of Dave or I or Sean. He does appraisals, so if you got any questions regarding that, give us a call here at the office. You can reach me on my cell phone at 316-680-5131. And, Dave, I'll let you give him your number, too.
Yeah, my cell phone is 316-322-5555, and we can direct you to the proper people at the USDA offices or wildlife and parks. Well, we deal with a lot of those experts, and they know a lot about how to help you control those types of issues.
All right, yeah, very good. And I'm sure that you guys, too, if people are trying to, maybe they're looking at a particular piece of property and maybe they might not be familiar with all what these noxious weeds look like, you can either help them with that or kind of point them in the right direction to help identify some of those if they're evaluating maybe a property for purchase.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, that's what we look at pretty much on a daily basis. So if someone's got some questions about that, for sure, get with us and let us know. Maybe you're trying to put a value on your property. Those are things that we're going to take into consideration, the things that we covered today. If you've got any questions, you're looking to maybe sell or get the value out of your property, just give us a call, and we would be happy to come out and meet and discuss it with you.
All right. Well, Mr. Keith, David, and Sean, I really appreciate you coming on here this morning, and I look forward to chatting with you again next week. And, hey, you all have a very happy new year.
Okay, same to you, James. Thanks.
All right, you take care. Have a good one. And we'll continue on. That's our Ask the Expert segment here on the Mighty 690, and we have more Open Line coming up here on KGGF.